With weeks to go until Arkansas's planned executions, we reached out to West Memphis 3 survivor Damian Eccles, who spent 18 years on death row amid much doubt about his guilt. He was released about 5.5 years ago. He took a call from Arkansas Public Media to find out what on earth he must think about all this.
It's kind of, it's something that I don't even know if there's anything in the English language to be able to articulate something like this, because it's not something that happens every day. The number one thing, I guess, at the top of the list would just be kind of disbelief and absolute horror. You know, disbelief just that they're pushing so hard and they've devalued human life to such a point where they're now lining people up like a slaughterhouse. You know, it's not even the dignity of a person being executed on their own, which is horrifying in itself. You know, they've stripped away even that dignity now, and you're being, in essence, shoved into a cattle chute and killed in mass numbers. It's absolutely horrifying. You know, to this day, there's still been no exonerations from death row in Arkansas. No death row inmates have ever been exonerated. So by doing, just that alone is the state of Arkansas saying, we've never made a mistake. We're infallible. It may happen in other states, but not here. And we know that's not true. So it's just absolute horror.
Did your years there overlap with the 8 men who are scheduled for execution now?
Yeah, I know every single one of them. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that's going to be executed, Don Davis, he was like a brother to me. I knew him the entire time I was there. We watched out for each other. He watched my back for 18 years. I would not have survived in there without him. He saved my life. He stood up against horrendously abusive prison guards on my behalf. He gave me food when I didn't have any. In prison, if you give another inmate food, that's punishable by 30 days in the hole. You get 30 days in the hole, you lose your privileges for the next year to have a contact visit with your family or your friends or anyone. He knew that and still gave me food when I had nothing. It's a bizarre situation. Not only him, that I knew personally, but there are two of the guys that they're getting ready to execute. Two of the 8 are stark raving insane. One of the guys at one point actually filed paperwork saying that my mother was breaking into the penitentiary and raping him, trying to get him pregnant. And he believes it. He believed it with his whole heart. He has zero contact with reality whatsoever, probably has no comprehension of what it even means that they're going to execute him. They don't care. They don't care.
Part of their explanation for why so many executions at once, they said it would be less traumatic to just get a bunch over with. I assume you think it would actually be a lot more traumatic to do a bunch at once?
Oh, absolutely. I think it absolutely would, in ways that I can't even describe. Number one, like I said a second ago, you don't even allow anyone the slightest shred of dignity as they're dying. They know that they're like chickens on a conveyor belt at a meat processing facility. I think the real main reason they're wanting to do it is because it's getting harder and harder to acquire the drugs to do lethal injections now, just because a lot of the pharmaceutical companies do not want to give their drugs to a state that they know are going to use them for executions, because that's not what the drugs were meant for. You know, these are medical drugs meant for medical purposes, not to put people to death. So it's getting harder and harder to acquire those drugs, and the drugs that Arkansas has right now are about to expire. They're going to go over the expiration date, which means they can no longer be used. They want to use as much of those drugs as they possibly can before they go over the expiration date in order to save money and save them the trouble of having to go through the process of reacquiring them.
And during your time on death row, did the other inmates, did they instinctively know that you were innocent?
It's hard to say, because you're dealing with all different kinds of people across the board. Some of them, like I was saying about the two of the guys that are getting ready to be executed, are stark raving insane. So things like guilt or innocence, plays no role in their worldview or their existence or anything else. Some people did. Some people probably didn't care one way or the other because they were so busy dealing, you know, with their own trauma and crisis and everything else. So, you know, it's all over the spectrum.
Can you think of any scenario where you would support the death penalty, or do we need to get out of the death penalty business altogether because there's so many problems? Or what would be your idea of justice in sort of some extreme cases?
I don't think you can really, you know, people who are really deeply entrenched in this field and have been working in it for years and years and studied it, not in just one particular state, but across the board. You know, I've done a lot of talks at like law schools and criminal justice classes and things of that nature where I've come in contact with a lot of people who are deeply entrenched in this field. And they're now estimating that maybe as many as one out of every 10 people on death row are innocent. One out of every 10 people executed are innocent. Now, if we said that one out of every 10 airplanes was going to crash, nobody would fly. Everybody would demand that this situation, this problem be addressed, looked at, remedied, fixed in some sort of way. But nobody's doing that with the death penalty because it doesn't affect most people. You know, they don't care. And then we also have, you know, this whole thing, this sort of us versus them mentality when it comes to things like this where people have to be punished. And it's better to even, some people will even go so far as to say collateral damage can't be avoided. You know, if one innocent person has to be killed so that we get nine guilty people, then that's fine with them. They don't care. Before you could ever institute something like the death penalty, in my opinion, you would have to reach a point where you were 100% certain that there was never a mistake going to be made. And that's not going to happen because the situation is run by human beings. No human being is infallible. No human being is absolutely perfect and never makes mistakes. You're always, as long as you're killing people, you are always going to have innocent people being killed. And if we're telling people that only vile, disgusting human beings kill people, then what does that make the executioners? What does that make the system? Because they're killing people. You know, even on the death certificate of the person executed, it says cause of death, homicide. So they're admitting that they're killing people, but they're saying that killing is wrong. You know, we don't rape rapists to show that rape is wrong. It just, there's no logic to this.
Now, according to the Attorney General, all appeals have been exhausted and they are planning to go ahead with this. But I suppose there's always a chance of kind of a last minute appeal. Are you planning to appear at any rallies or give any talks or do anything to try to help prevent this?
I'm actually in the process right now of arranging a trip to Arkansas. I believe I'm going to be there on, it's either the 14th or the 15th. It's Good Friday, whichever day that is. And I think we're going to do a rally on the steps of the Capitol. Jason Baldwin, I've heard, is also coming. And we're both going to speak on behalf of the men being executed and on behalf of the Arkansas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. Jason and I will both be there very shortly. You know, this isn't pleasant. It's not something I think that either one of us wants to do. It's sort of subjecting ourselves to another dose of trauma. You know, re-traumatizing ourselves, even just going back into the situation, being this close to it. You know, when you walk off a death row, you kind of think, eventually there's going to come a day when this is behind me for good, when I never look back at this again. But so far that hasn't happened. So far there is always something, for some reason, that has pulled us back and that refuses to let us forget about this situation. And I don't think that either of us could live with ourselves if we just walked away knowing that other people were being victimized by the system.
Have you been back to Arkansas since your release?
I went back one time. I taught a class on writing at the school there in Conway. They brought me in to do that. Other than that, and when I did that, I went straight in and straight out. There was, you know, I didn't hang around. I didn't really see anything there. So, you know, it's kind of going to be the same way for this trip. I'm going straight in and straight out just because being there, just being in Arkansas is such a tremendously traumatic thing for me still.
And you've been out since 2011. So can you give an update on how's it going to get your life rebuilt?
It's a gradual process. You know, you don't get used to being in prison in a single day, and you don't get used to being out of prison in a single day. There has been tremendous amounts of trauma to try to get through, you know, going through things like post-traumatic stress disorder therapy. There are still days whenever it's very, very haunting, days whenever I can't even describe it. It's incredibly unpleasant to even talk about, to think about. But with every day that passes, I guess I become a little more submerged in the normal world again. And there's been a gradual improvement over about 5 years. I would say I'm probably up to maybe, you know, 75% to 80% normal now. Whether I'll ever reach 100% normal or not, is something that remains to be seen, because, like I said, there's always something to, you know, sort of reignite the trauma, like in this situation.
And I imagine the upcoming executions are a major example of something that reignites the trauma.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's not only the executions themselves, which would be horrific enough, but it's the fact that it's 8 people that I lived with for years and years that I came in contact with on a regular basis. You know, it's bizarre, doesn't even come close to describing what it's like.
And is there any healing to be found in the artwork that you do?
I think I found healing in a lot of places, places that I wouldn't normally even think to look. There was, you know, the artwork I've done, I want to say maybe about 10 shows in the past 5 years since I've been out, 10 different art exhibits in all different places, all different forms, and that is one of the things that's helped me. Another thing is cycling. You know, I absolutely love bicycling. I bike on the streets of New York every single day that I can. There's something about it that just soothes me, calms my nerves, forces you to be in the present moment. It's like meditation without sitting still. You know, when you're riding a bike on the streets of New York and you're surrounded by traffic, it forces you to be in the present moment in order just to, you know, not be run over. So in that regard, it's like an act of meditation that pulls you out of anything within yourself, anything within your own mind that you might get trapped in, get stuck in, and forces you to be present and deal with the present moment. So biking does that for me, and the artwork did that for me. And you never really know where healing is going to come from.
And part of your story was that you met the woman you married under, you know, crazy circumstances. So can you talk a little bit about that? I'm sure it took a readjustment from being married behind bars to being married, you know, in on the outside in real life.
Oh, absolutely. Lori and I met in 1996. I'd been in prison for 3 years by that point. We met in 96 and we got married in 1999. And she is the reason that I'm alive right now. She did more work on this case than attorneys and investigators combined. You know, there were times when we couldn't even afford to pay legal fees anymore, and she took out 2 personal loans just to pay legal fees. When we were trying to find a match to the DNA at the crime scene, it was my wife, Lori, who's out digging through garbage trying to find cigarette butts with people's DNA on them so that we can try to find a match. I would be dead right now if not for her. And that role has kind of continued even since I got out. You know, I don't think anyone knew the devastating effect that walking out of the prison gates was going to have on me. It completely shattered me, because not only had I been in prison for almost 20 years, I've been in solitary confinement for the last 8 years of that. So I went literally from solitary confinement one day to the very next day being on the streets of Manhattan. And it was a complete overload that just shattered me in so many ways that I couldn't even take care of myself. So she kind of had to nurse me back to health, even the first entire year that I was out here on the street.
And I'm sure that along the way, there were probably people who didn't think it was, you know, the best idea for a woman to fall in love with a death row inmate. And she probably had to, you know, there was probably some peer pressure about that.
I wouldn't doubt it. There probably was. You know, you always have people who were outside the situation who didn't even, you know, really know what was going on with the situation that always have opinions and things of that nature. And Lori and I both, neither of us have ever cared about that. You know, we don't care about what other people think we should do. We follow our internal moral compass. We follow our spiritual practice. We do just sort of what we know is the right thing to do. And for us, that has always been, we know that the key to our growth, the key to our development, the key to becoming better people, more intelligent people, is each other. You know, we have both grown more through the lessons we've learned in our relationship than from anything else that we've ever gone through in our lives. I always tell people that everything I know that's worth knowing, I learned from Lori, either directly from her or through something that's happened in our relationship from her. And she always says the same thing. So we tend not to, I guess, worry too much about what outsiders would think of us.
That's West Memphis 3 survivor Damian Echols. I'm Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media.